Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Bloodlines here on Eurofolkradio.com. The last line of defense against the international Jew and their liberal feminist cohorts who just love killing babies. I mean, wow. Virginia and New York have just passed some of the most ugly legislation allowing even non-MDs to kill babies after they're born. It's quite incredible, folks. Who would have thunk it would get this horrible in America? But that's what's happening. Wow. 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 Okay. I mean, if this doesn't make your blood boil and get you ready to fight, I don't know what will. Either a cold-hearted liberal or a zombie. If this doesn't make your blood boil. Over to you, Pastor Steve.
Well, like I said, we need that post-birth abortion.
Yeah, right.
You know, those that, even in their 50s.
Yeah, right. Liberals.
If they turn out to be a bad baby, we need to get rid of them.
Yeah, like Ocasio-Cortez
and
Nancy.
Well, let's not name names.
Yeah,
let's
okay.
We don't need to name names.
Okay, well, she's in
the
50.
Just in general, the ones that want to go against Yahweh's law and are blatant about it and are in our face and are trying to pass laws to continue their ritual murder sacrifice, blood drinking, body part selling rituals.
Religion. Yep.
You know, if they turn out to be a bad baby, then they need to have a post-birth abortion. If they're going to kill kids after they've been born, taken out of the womb, and they decide whether they'll live or die then, well, then, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so
let's be fair about it.
Yeah. Yeah, the liberals want to have it both ways. They want to kill us and preserve themselves. Right?
And good morning, Davidson of Robert.
Yeah. Good morning.
It's a new guy, and he gives me greetings, and I give him greetings back.
Yeah.
To all the faithful in the
chat room and
the chat
listening
room.
Audience. Yep.
We've got Brother Hebert and Clan Federian. Well, that's a mouthful.
Right. Yeah.
But
he must be Scottish.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fellow Scot.
Right.
So what can I? Scott's German.
Scott.
Our
Scott,
families
Scott.
In both countries.
Yeah.
We even have a castle in Scotland, Anderson Castle. And Dad brought home the family tartan after World War II. We had all of that. I guess I could go over and visit, but I don't want to go to the UK.
You're a Kraut Scot. All right.
Well, we're all, you know.
Yeah.
We're all sort of interrelated. It's the same people.
Yeah, right. All
just
right, folks.
Different physical nationalities, but they're interchangeable.
Yeah, right.
The same bloodline.
Amen. Yeah.
We're, tribe of Judah.
Yeah, we said we'd be scattered all over the world, right? And here we are, right?
And here I am in the States.
Right. So last week, I forgot my laptop to bring it along on my travels, and so we couldn't do a show, and Pastor Steve filled it in with a pre-recorded show. So we're back live today, folks. Thank you very much. And we're going to continue our series on the Antiquities of Judah, the chapters in which Josephus details the lifetimes and, I don't know if tragedy is the correct word, but the totally corrupt administration of Herod the Edomite. Okay.
And all the terribly corrupt people he had around him.
Right. Most of them being
the
Edomites.
The betrayers and the backstabbers and the greedy. And I mean, it was sort of like the Obama administration.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Except they didn't kill babies. Oh, wait a minute. No. Herod killed babies too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you're exactly right. Just like the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't heard Donald Trump come out publicly against this baby killing.
State of the Union. He blasted it.
He did. Okay. Very good.
Oh, man. He hammered on it.
Yeah. So there is a conservative wing in America that does not believe in killing babies.
He actually called for legislation to ban it.
Right. Brother Abear says Planned Parenthood. Yep. They're Edomites. Planned Parenthood. They're Edomites. There's no doubt about it. It's amazing how many Judeo-Christians follow the Edomites straight into hell. Straight into hell. It's incredible, folks.
They are deeply deceived.
That's
what
right.
Can I say?
Yeah, and disturbed as well. So anyway, last time we left off in chapter 15. Book 15.
Although mm-hmm. this might get some of your evangelical, the more right wing. Mm-hmm. Judeos up in arms about it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Okay, so, because, enough is enough. You know, partial birth abortion was bad enough. Now you can kill the baby after it's fully born. Mm-hmm. And the liberals don't bat an eye. They are proud of killing babies. This is incredible, folks. And the Judeo churches have turned the other, a blind eye, right? They have turned a blind eye to all of this. And it's about time for them to grow a backbone and join us in opposing this horrific practice.
Well, now you see there's a downside to all of that. If they pass those things, they all have to vote and register their vote, and it's made public.
Right.
So we know who's who.
Yeah. You know who's who, yeah. So, yeah, we're in these end times. This is war, folks. We're the only ones telling you this is out-and-out war between Christian identity, the pure Adamic Israelites.
I've done the shows, Eli, and I've told them.
Right,
that
and
it's
the Edomites.
Ramping up into open violence.
Yeah, calling for the doxing of the... Covington High School kids, liberals?
Yeah, they were there to protest that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So doxing. So if you, they'll attack you. They'll find out where you live and attack you.
There's problems in the Catholic Church. There's a lot of people leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this Pope.
Yep. Yeah, he's an open.
He is
child molester.
Absolutely satanic.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Child molester par excellence. Okay. So this is where the Catholic Church is at, and the Protestant churches aren't much better because they turned a blind eye to all of this evil that surrounds them and pretend it's good. So, folks, I mean, there's so much evil in this world. That's why it's becoming more and more obvious, Pastor Steve, that only a remnant of our people is going to survive into the kingdom. Because too many of our people are just wishy-washy flakes who do not have a backbone, do not have a moral compass anymore, thanks to the corruption of the churches. Well. Simply do not have a moral compass. But this is why this section of Josephus is important to understand, because this is, how should I put it? Herod was the seed, the germ of Edom infiltrating, worming its way into our company, the company of true Israel, okay? In this case, the house of Judah. So, I mean, this is an object lesson of what happens when Edomites infiltrate your country. Your nation, your neighborhood, your house. This is what happens, okay?
Well, they've crept in everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm looking at something as we speak.
Yeah, they're into everything. Yeah, I mean, they won't leave us alone. That's the issue. They won't, like a germ.
As of this morning. This is just this past year. I have 20,961 views.
Good.
On my little bitty Christian website.
Mm-hmm. That means there are people.
Scripture only, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. Scripture only. So that, what does that tell you? I imagine Brother Hebert's website is equally that way. David James. Mm-hmm. And boy, has he been coming out with some bangers.
Yeah,
lately.
Yeah, yeah.
The shows are
We got to hammer these Edomites.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Stop imitating the Edomites. That's our basic message, folks. Stop imitating the, and stop worshiping them, too. Right? Stop worshiping these Edomites who are the primary promoters of abortion.
Yeah.
But the Judeo-Christians don't get it. They refuse to look at the evidence. You know, you're blind. Well, what did Jesus say? If you have a blind guide, they all fall into the ditch.
Yep.
Judeo-Christianity is in that ditch. And they can't get out.
They're in a world of hurt, man.
They're in a world of hurt. Yeah, I mean, when Yahshua comes the second time, he's going to, what have you done for me lately? We promoted...
No, there's not going to be any discussion when it comes to the second time.
All right, okay.
The grace period will be over, and all the talking's going to be done.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, the twofold sons of Gehenna. Right. Your proselytes, speaking to the Pharisees, your proselytes, those that you have converted to your religion, Judaism, are twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Okay? Why don't the churches teach that? Why do they teach tolerance for evil?
Money?
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Money talks. Judeo-Christianity walks, right? Well, okay,
that's
to amend and clean up that expression, okay? So, anyway, let's go back into Book 15, Chapter 7. We're ready to read Paragraph 4, but I'm just going to back up into Paragraph 3 to set up Chapter 4 so you know what it's about. Now, when Herod was come into Egypt, he was introduced to Caesar, with great freedom, as already a friend of his, and received very great favors from him. For he made a present of those 400 Galatians, who had been Cleopatra's guards, and restored that country to him again, which by her means had been taken away from him. Okay, Cleopatra hated Herod. She hated Herod. But unfortunately, Mark Antony loved him because he had done favors for Mark Antony.
Money.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know what I mean by favors, okay? Okay. He also added to his kingdom Gadara, Hippos, and Samaria. So, in other words, Herod was getting back stuff that the Roman Empire had procured for him because Herod was not a Judahite. He was an Edomite. And together, the Edomites and the Romans ruled.
Well, he was governing in the name of Rome and doing Rome's bidding. So, of course, they would have been friendly to him.
That's right.
He was one of their shills.
Exactly, exactly. And besides those, the maritime cities, Gaza, Anthedon, Joppa, and Strato's Tower. That sets up Paragraph 4. Over to you.
Okay, you want me to do paragraph 4?
Yes. And then we'll switch up.
Okay, here we go. I didn't know. I didn't want to encroach on your reading.
Very good.
Mm.
You ready?
Coffee.
Oh, okay.
Coffee. Okay. This is paragraph 4, verse 218. Upon these new acquisitions, he grew more magnificent and conducted Caesar as far as Antioch. But upon his return, as much as his prosperity was augmented by the foreign additions that had been made him, so much the greater were the distresses that came upon him in his own family, and chiefly in the affair of his wife. Pardon me. Wherein he formerly appeared to have been most of all fortunate. For the affection he had for Mariamne was no way inferior to the affections of such as are on that account celebrated in history, and this very justly. In other words, he had a flaming love affair with this woman.
Right. And
he was burning hot for
her. Up until he killed her. Right? Up until the moment that he killed her. Such is love.
That sounds like O.J. Simpson.
There you go.
219. As for her, she was in other respects a chaste woman and faithful to him. Yet she was a woman somewhat rough in nature and treated her husband imperiously enough because she saw he was so fond of her as to be enslaved to her.
No.
She didn't. Well, a dominating woman.
Right. No, it's just she understood that he was so much infatuated by her that she could manipulate him. Okay. In this case, he's a person that needed to be manipulated in the right direction, right? But since he was an Edomite, that wasn't going to happen. Correct. Back to you. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was half crazy anyway. Yeah, she did right. not also consider seasonably with herself that she lived under a monarchy. He was really a monarch, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Occupation.
They acted like it was.
Okay. Let me interrupt right here, because this is another instance of Josephus having to be careful what he says.
Correct.
Okay. Monarchy is a nice term for dictatorship. Back to you. All right.
And that she was at another's disposal and accordingly would behave herself after an impudent manner to him, which yet he usually put off in a jesting way. And bore with moderation and good temper. In other words, he just tapped it off because he couldn't take it seriously because he would have been seriously dissed.
That's right.
And would appear weak to others.
Amen.
But he was hated by a lot of people. She would also expose his mother and his sister openly on account of the meanness of their birth.
Low-born.
Edomites.
They're Edomites.
And they looked down on the Edomites and would speak unkindly of them, insomuch that there was before this a disagreement and unpardonable hatred among the women, and it was now come to greater reproaches of one another than formerly. In other words, it came to a head.
The evil mother-in-law.
mother-in-law. Remember that one?
Yep.
Which suspicions increased and lasted a whole year after Herod returned from Caesar. However, these misfortunes, which had been kept under some decency for a great while, burst out all at once upon such an occasion as was now offered. In other words, they fought whenever they got close.
Right.
For as the king was one day about noon, laying down on his bed to rest him, he called for Mariamne out of the great affection he always had for her. She came in accordingly, but would not lie down by him. And when he was very desirous of her company, she showed her contempt of him and added, by the way of reproach, that he had caused her father and her brother to be killed.
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah. You love me, but you killed my brother and my father. Is that how much you love me?
That's real love. And when he took this injury very unkindly and was ready to use violence to her in a precipitous manner, the king's sister Salome, observing that he was more than ordinarily disturbed, sent into the king his cupbearer, who had been prepared long beforehand for such a design, and direct him tell the king how Mariamne had persuaded him to give his assistance in preparing a love potion for him. And if he appeared to be greatly concerned and to ask what that love potion was, to tell him that she had the potion and that he was desired only to give it to him, but that in case he did not appear to be much concerned at this potion, to let the thing drop.
Okay.
And that if he did so, no harm should thereby come to him. When she had given him these instructions, she sent him at this time to make such a speech. So he went in, after a composed manner, to gain credit to what he should say, and yet something hastily, and said that Mariamne had given him presents and persuaded him to give him a love potion. Love, 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 love.
Right.
And when this moved the king, he said that this love potion was a composition that she had given him, whose effects he did not know, which was the reason of his resolving to give him this information as the safest course he could take, both for himself and for the king.
Mm-hmm.
When Herod heard what he said and was in an ill disposition before, his indignation grew more violent, and he ordered that eunuch of Mariamne, who was most faithful to her, to be brought to torture about this potion, as well knowing it was not possible that anything small or great could be done without him.
Mm.
And when the man was under the utmost agonies, he could say nothing concerning the thing he was tortured about, but so far he knew that Mariamne's hatred against him was occasioned by something that Sohemus had said to her. Now, as he was saying this, Herod cried out aloud and said that Sohemus, who had been at all other times most faithful to him and to his government, would not have betrayed what injunctions he had given him unless he had had a nearer conversation than ordinary with Mariamne.
Uh-oh, conspiracy. Herod is a conspiracy theorist.
So he gets, I mean, he's, the sister is setting up.
That's right, yeah.
All these faithfuls. Mariamne's allies, she's setting up her allies
right.
to be zapped.
Exactly.
So he gave order that Sohemus should be seized on and killed immediately.
Wow.
But he allowed his wife to take her trial and got together those that were most faithful to him and laid an elaborate accusation against her for this love potion and composition, which had been charged upon her by way of slander only.
Now, right.
She didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, Solomon made it all up.
Sister's machinations.
Exactly, yes.
Intrigue.
Yeah, man.
However, he kept no temper in what he said and was in too great a passion for judging well about this matter. Accordingly, when the court was at length satisfied that he was so resolved, they passed the sentence of death upon her.
Wow.
But when the sentence was passed upon her, this temper was suggested by himself and by some others of the court, that she should not be thus hastily put to death, but be laid in prison in one of the fortresses belonging to the kingdom. But Salome and her party labored hard to have the woman put to death, and they prevailed with the king to do so, and advised this out of caution, lest the multitude should be disorderly if she were suffered to live. And thus was Mariamne led to execution.
This is what happens if you have a Jewish mother-in-law. You see, folks? I mean, I hope you're learning lessons from this, right? Now, this has got to be the same Salome that wanted John the Baptist's head.
Oh, no. Fire alarm's going to go off.
Oh, you're kidding. All right.
It's
my turn to read, and we're not hearing it too badly. We just barely hear it.
Oh, it isn't going off yet, but it just blurped.
Oh, okay. I see.
And you know how horrible that is when it goes off.
Right,
one
yeah.
Right above my radio here.
Right, yeah. So. And I was at your house a couple of times when we were doing live shows, and the thing went off. Okay. All right. I'll take it from here and come back when you're ready. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Paragraph 5. When Alexandra observed how things went and that there were small hopes that she herself should escape the like treatment from Herod, she changed her behavior to quite the reverse of what might have been expected from her former boldness, and this after a very indecent manner. For out of her desire to show how entirely ignorant she was of this entire affair, of the crimes laid against Mariamne, she leaped out of her place and reproached her daughter. Okay, so Alexandra, in order to avoid being killed herself, went ahead and reproached her own daughter in the hearing of all the people, and cried out that she had been an ill woman and ungrateful to her husband, and that her punishment came justly upon her for such insolent behavior, for that she had not made proper returns to him who had been their common benefactor. Of course, this is kind of mea culpa that liberals do, right? The Democrats do.
Yeah, she's basically sucked up to save her own butt.
Oh, exactly. And when she had for some time acted in this hypocritical manner and had been so outrageous as to tear her hair, this indecent dissembling behavior, as was to be expected, was greatly condemned by the rest of the spectators. They weren't buying it, as it was principally by the poor woman who was to suffer. For at the very first she gave her not a word, nor was discomposed at her peevishness, and only looked at her, yet did she, out of a greatness of soul, discover her concern for her mother's offense, and especially for exposing herself in a manner so unbecoming her. But as for herself, she went to her death with an unshaken firmness of mind, and without changing the color of her face, and thereby evidently discovered the nobility of her descent to the spectators, even in the last moments of her life. So, how many times?
She was dignified.
That's
even
right.
Up until the last.
Okay, remember that we've been telling people, because of the information in the Apocrypha, especially Maccabees, that the difference between Judahites and Edomites is this. The Judahites will take martyr. They prefer to die than to become Jews, than to give up their faith. Jews, on the other hand, will never suffer martyrdom. They will pretend to convert. Now, this is how easy it is to distinguish between a true Israelite and a Jew. Because the Jews fear death because they don't believe in the afterlife. They simply do not have this belief. So they will do everything.
They don't have afterlife.
Well, actually, they don't. You're right.
Why would they believe in it?
Yeah, right. Exactly. They know that they're going to burn and they'll be cast into eternal torment and they'll never get out of it. So they know that. So they fear death. And they will not choose martyrdom. They will always pretend to convert. And
you
compare this to the martyrs of Christendom and even to the Maccabees who suffered similar martyrdom. Okay? So, they don't have any nobility. Jews don't have any nobility because they're descended from Cain and Esau. All right? How's your alarm doing?
No, it stopped.
Okay.
It didn't actually go off.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it.
Yeah, the boop. right. That usually means you're going to come on with some stupid announcement.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, well.
The whole city can hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Verse 6.
Okay.
Or section 6, rather. And thus died Mariamne, a woman of an excellent character, both for chastity and greatness of soul. But she wanted moderation and had too much of contention in her nation.
Nature.
In her nature. She wanted moderation means she was lacking in moderation.
Yes, supposedly. Right.
Well, supposedly.
This is
and had too much
politically
of contention
correct.
In her nature. In other words, she was a fighter.
Right.
And she wouldn't put up with the BS.
Well, okay. Josephus has to put it this way because Herod is Rome's agent. Okay.
He had to be very careful. He's a master wordsmith.
That's
he
right.
He has to couch things very favorably.
Right.
So he doesn't wind up on the chopping block either.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The truth is that Herod was such a contemptible character that no white woman in her right mind could love such a creep. Back to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yet had she all that can be said in the beauty of her body and her majestic appearance in conversation.
She was an elegant white woman.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
And from there arose the greatest part of the occasions why she did not prove so agreeable to the king, nor live so pleasantly with him, as she might otherwise have done. For while she was most indulgently used by the king, out of his fondness for her, and did not expect that he could do any hard thing to her, she took too unbounded a liberty. In other words, she mm-hmm. developed hoof and mouth disease.
Right.
And got her head cut off.
Right.
Moreover, that which most afflicted her was what he had done to her relations. He killed all her family.
Mm-hmm. Is this not justified?
That tends to alienate people.
That's
you know?
Right. It does.
And she ventured to speak of all they had suffered by him, and at last greatly provoked both the king's mother and sister until they became enemies to her. And even he himself also did the same, on whom alone she depended for her expectations of escaping the last of punishments.
So she took it as long as she could, but she couldn't take it anymore.
I guess she just would rather die than stay with us.
Exactly. Exactly. And that describes us. We would rather die than live in a Jewish world.
That's for sure.
All right. Chapter
Your
7.
Turn.
But when she was once dead, the king's affections for her were kindled in a more outrageous manner than before. This is a soap opera.
Man.
Oh, no, I killed her. The only woman I loved in my...
And it's the ghost of Mariamne past.
How could I have done this? What an incredible soap opera this is. Whose old passion for her we have already described. Well, I mean, Jews love white women. You know, they just can't live without our women.
Shiks a goddess.
Yeah,
Shiks
oh my goodness.
Goddess.
Yeah, right? That's why Jewish women hate white women so much, right?
Yeah.
For by the way, Shiks a goddess was kicked off of YouTube. She did a lot of songs critical of Jews. You know, YouTube can't have that.
Yeah.
For his love to her was not of a calm nature, nor such as, he was just head over heels smitten by her, usually meet with among other husbands, for at its commencement it was of an enthusiastic kind, nor was it by their long cohabitation and free conversation together brought under his power to manage. So, you know, he just loved her so much, you know, of course it was just lust. I mean, forget about the word love. Edomites don't have love. They have lust. But at this time, his love to Mariamne seemed to seize him in such a peculiar manner as looked like divine vengeance upon him for taking away. So, I don't know, he went nuts. He went nuts. And was publicly grieving for his dead wife, whom he had just killed. For he would frequently call for her, and frequently lament for her in a most indecent manner. Oh, my God. Over he bethought, well, then you shouldn't have killed her, right? Moreover, he bethought him of everything he could make use of to divert his mind from thinking of her, and contrived feasts and assemblies for that purpose, aside the administration of public affairs, and laid aside the administration of public affairs, and was so far conquered by his passion that he would order his servants to call for Mariamne as if she were still alive and could still hear them.
This guy was over the deep end.
Yeah, like all Jews.
Man.
And when he was in this way, there arose a pestilential disease. and carried off the greatest part of the multitude. Wow. A little bit of Yahweh's vengeance here. And of his best and most esteemed friends, and made all men suspect that this was brought upon them by the anger of God. Well, you think? For the injustice that had been done to Mariamne. Wow. Talk about dread overcoming the traitors, the multitude of traitors that had gotten near Herod. This circumstance affected the king still more, till at length he forced himself to go into desert places, and there, under pretense of going a-hunting, bitterly afflicted himself. Yet had he not borne his grief there many days before he fell into a most dangerous distemper himself. He had an inflammation upon him, and a pain in the hinder part of his head, joined with madness. And for the remedies that were used, they did him no good at all, but proved contrary to his case, and so at length brought him to despair. Good for him.
He had migraines.
Yeah, migraines. All the physicians also that were about him, partly because of the medicines they brought for his recovery, could not at all conquer the disease, and partly because his diet could be no other than what his disease inclined him to. I'm sure he ate lots of pork. Desired him to eat whatever he had a mind to, and so left the small hopes they had of his recovery in the power of that diet, and committed him to fortune. And thus did his distemper go on while he was at Samaria, now called Sebaste. Okay, so we see here that no matter how hard you try to pretend that you didn't do wrong, he was only mad at himself because he had killed his true love. You know, and so I don't think there's nothing here to suggest repentance. You know, nothing here to suggest repentance. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have killed her, right? Yeah. But being an Edomite, he could no way admit that he had done anything wrong. Over to you.
Well, it shows the emotional and psychological instability that is endemic in those people.
That's right.
And it just not rational decisions, proclivity for violence where it's not necessary.
Paranoia. Yeah, I mean, the Jews admit that they have the most psychological diseases of any ethnic group, by far, the most psychological diseases. You know, they even admit this, and we know it better. For the average Judeo-Christian is not even aware of this.
Well, that's a mental disease and can be solved by beheading.
There you go. Yeah, that'll cure your migraines.
Yes, I mean it'll end all the problems. You won't have any more mental problems because that errant brain will be separated from the body, and that will stop all those unwarranted actions. Correct.
Yep.
Well, that's my medical diagnosis.
Right,
Dr. Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
Dr. Death.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
The Grim Reaper.
I'm not so grim. I'd be grinning. I think, like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah. So anyway, he developed some kind of illness that would not, and he lived with this for the rest of his life until he was finally eaten up by worms. But that's getting ahead of the story. Back to you.
Section 8. Now Alexander abode at this time at Jerusalem. And being informed what condition Herod was in, she tried to get possession of the fortified places that were about the city, which were two, the one belonging to the city itself, the other belonging to the temple, and those that could get them into their hands had the whole nation under their power. For without the command of them, it was not possible to offer their sacrifices and to think of leaving on those sacrifices is to every Judean plainly impossible, who are still more ready to lose their lives than to leave off that divine worship, which they had been accustomed to pay unto God. Alexandra, therefore, spoke with those that had the keeping of these strongholds, that it was proper for them to deliver the same to her and to Herod's sons, lest upon his death any other person should seize upon the government, and that upon his recovery none could keep them more safely for him than those of his own family. Yeah, these words were not by them at all taken in good part. And as they had been in former times faithful to Herod, they resolved to continue so more than ever, both because they hated Alexandra and because they thought it a sort of impiety to despair of Herod's recovery while he was yet alive.
Yeah. Everybody was hoping he would die, right?
For they had been his old friends, and one of them, whose name was Achiabus, was his first cousin. They sent messengers, therefore, to acquaint him with Alexander's design. So he made no longer delay, but gave orders to have her killed. Yet was it still with difficulty, and after he had endured great pain, that he got clear of his sickness. He was still sorely afflicted, both in mind and body, and made very uneasy and readier than ever upon all occasions to inflict punishment upon those that fell under his hand. He also killed the most intimate of his friends, Costobarus and Lysimachus, and Gadea, who was also called Antipater.
Another Antipater, right.
Okay. Antipater. And also Dositheus, and that upon the following occasion. Section 9. To you.
Yeah, okay. As you're reading this, I'm reflecting upon our current times. This is how the Jews are acting right now. They're going crazy with every possible attempt to kill us, and this partial birth and post-birth abortion deal is part of it.
Okay. Well, they're saying on the internet, on even the mainstream media, there have been several attempts on Trump.
Right? For opposing this.
Yeah. And they have been foiled.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. This shows how crazy these liberals are. Absolutely crazy. And immoral.
I wonder why he is supporting Mossad, because I think they're the ones that are.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah,
behind his back, Trump, brother.
Trump is angering lots of Jews. So it makes us wonder, you know, why does he have any Jews around him? Is he totally ignorant of the Jewish question? Or is he, you know, playing this game, you know, with full awareness that it's the Jews who want to kill him? How can he not know that?
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
That's right. That's actually the other way around. Right? No, you're right. That's the way the slogan goes, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we can see the Jews are going absolutely bonkers in trying to kill us all because they're getting impatient. Right? But here we are, folks. We're here at Eurofolk Radio. We're not going anywhere, and they're not going to kill us because we have Yahweh's, we obey his laws. And that is our protection. Go back to, not Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Okay? So we're only in danger if we fail to obey his laws. So we have been protected. Okay? So a couple of questions in the chat room by Bo Bandy. I don't know which Bible to use now. I have Revised Standard and a KJV. I am seeing how mistranslated they are. Okay? So, yeah, and I like to put it this way. As long as you understand the endemic mistranslated words, such as man, you know, which is translated from six or seven different Hebrew words, And that's not at all correct. When you understand that Adam is different from Ish, but they're all translated the same way, once you understand the patterns of mistranslation, then you can read the scriptures and, you know, understand them very well. Okay? But I prefer, in the past, the Jerusalem Bible, because, and I see Swamp Fox says he uses the Companion Bible, which is also very good. The commentaries in there are excellent. But the Jerusalem Bible uses this name of Yahweh. It uses the term race for ethnos. And if you look in the concordances, Strong's Concordance, ethnos is defined as race, comma, nation. Yet very few translations use the word race for ethnos, even though that's what the definition is. Okay. And Pastor Steve prefers the scriptures, which I have a copy of now. And Pastor Steve, maybe you can address that question too.
Well, that's the Sacred Name Bible. They've corrected a lot of stuff. They have Adam. I'm finishing up. I'm in the middle of Psalms right now. As far as the Old Testament, quote unquote, I don't like to separate the Testaments. Yeah. Because I agree with David James, there's only one Testament, but the oldest covenant. When I get this third book done, I'm doing the writings right now. I have Psalms and the Prophets already finished. I will finish the writings this winter and spring and have it the third volume ready before fall. That will be the most accurate out there, because I have gone to great pains, and the notes are very significant. It is Sacred Name throughout. I have corrected where they have man. I have Adam, where they have in Ezekiel, son of man. No, it's son of Adam throughout. I have that corrected. See, I've gone through. And I've rewritten the Bible, where they have changed everything. I have put it back in the original form, which is accurate.
Yes.
That's been my life's work, actually.
Right. Yeah.
So we're in the middle of that. I haven't messed with the New Testament. The Scriptures pretty much has the New Testament down. It's pretty accurate. There are only a few things that could be changed, and you'll discover those as you go through it. So, and if you listen to my Word for Word series and listen to the New Testament portions, you will discover those errors, because I have corrected them in my shows. So, that's the best we can do. I mean, you know. There's only a few of us, and that is a huge amount of work. So
yes.
Over to you.
Okay. Also, I've written an article called Arsenal of Words, which is over at Anglo-Saxon Israel, which takes into account all of these badly translated words, or most of them. Okay. It's hard to do. You actually have to translate the Bible from the CI point of view to deal with all of them, as Pastor Steve has done. But the really endemic ones, the ones that are mistranslated, like Yahweh is always presented as Lord, L-O-R-D, okay, which never should have been done. Should have kept the original names. There's no reason to translate the name of Yahweh into an English, it's not even a translation of Yahweh. It's simply a substitute, a bad substitute for Yahweh. And it's the same thing for Yahshua. Jesus is simply, what's the term?
Jesus.
A transliteration. It's simply taking the letters from the Aramaic and changing them into Greek and then into English with no meaning. Has no meaning. Okay? So, maybe Swamp Fox, if you can collect that article for Bo Bandy. It's a bit lengthy. And then also, we did a series on words as weapons.
Yep.
Right? Sure words. The Jews use words as weapons. by redefining words, and Judeo-Christians are simply oblivious to all these false definitions, simply oblivious to them. And that's why we're here, is to explain this stuff to those who think they're Christians but are not. Okay, where were we? Right. Oh, man, this is such a, you know, it's a deep subject, and it takes a lot of study to overcome all of this deceit. The level of deceit is beyond most people's comprehension. It really is. It really is. So where were we in the text here, Pastor Steve?
Section 9, Costabaris.
Okay.
Was an Idu man by birth.
Okay. All right. That's my section.
Yeah.
Here we go. Costabaris was an Idumean or Idumean by birth, and of one principal dignity among them, and one whose ancestors had been priests to the Kozei, whom the Idumeans had formerly esteemed as a god. I mean, here's Baal worship, folks. All right. They were still practicing Baal worship while in the process of pretending to be Judah. This is what's going on here, folks. But after Hyrcanus has made a change in their political government and made them receive the Judahite, not Jewish, Judahite customs and law, Herod made Costabaris governor of Idumea and Gaza and gave him his sister Salome to wife. Okay? So, Josephus is revealing the Edomites by name, who have taken over Judah. I mean, this information is invaluable. Absolutely invaluable.
But it's not going to get it anywhere but here.
That's right, folks. You know, the Judeo-Christians will ignore this, and certainly the Jews will never discuss this history. Okay? And this was upon his slaughter of his uncle Joseph, who had had government before, as we have related already. So, anybody
kill each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And this is what, well, isn't this what the Mossad does for the Israel all over the planet? If
and
a leader gets out
States.
Of line, yep. If one of their, you know, puppets gets out of line, off with your head.
They have a mysterious, unfortunate accident.
Yes. Okay. When Costabaris had gotten to be so highly advanced, it pleased him and was more than he had hoped for. And he was more and more puffed up by his good success. And in a little while, he exceeded all bounds and did not think fit to obey what Herod, as the ruler, commanded him. This happens among Jews, right? Yeah. The ADL will elevate somebody. He'll get too big for his britches, and then they have to bring him down, right? You know?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That's what happened to who's that Wall Street cheat? Well, there's so many of them. I can't remember the guy's name. That he started cheating other Jews. Okay.
So Bernie Madoff?
Madoff, exactly.
Yeah.
So usually
he made off with everybody's money.
That's right, including the money of other Jews, right? So he had to be put away. Hey, you got too big for your britches, Madoff. We got to get rid of you.
Yeah,
okay?
I did some time with him.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow, in the same prison?
They kept him in solitary.
For his own safety.
He was in isolation.
Yeah. That's for his own safety. No,
he was in that prison, but in a special wing.
Right.
They had a protective custody section.
Yeah, because he would have got Jeffrey Dahmer'd. Right?
Oh, well.
No doubt. Okay. That was for his own protection. Okay.
He lived like a king in there.
Yeah, I'll bet. So, but he was still behind bars, so good for him. So, let's continue. So, not Jewish customs, but Judahite customs. And this is the big mistake that Hyrcanus made. He violated Yahweh's law by bringing non-Israelites into the kingdom, right? Into the country, and making them citizens, and actually circumcising them, which is utterly forbidden by Yahweh's law. We are not to circumcise non-Israelites. and the Maccabees honored this law and refused to circumcise Greeks or anybody else, okay? Okay, and he therefore sent to Cleopatra and informed her that the Idumeans had been always under his progenitors, and that for the same reason it was but just that she should desire that country for him of Antony, for that he was ready to transfer his friendship to her, and this he did, not because he was better pleased to be under Cleopatra's government, but because he thought that upon the diminution of Herod's power, it would not be difficult for him to obtain himself the entire government over the Idumeans and somewhat more also. So here's one conniving Jew conniving against another conniving Jew. Can you sense the drama, folks?
Wow.
Wow. Man. Wow. So, boy, but this is a huge risk. Yeah, this is another Madoff. He's a Bernie Madoff. That's what he is. He's trying to make off with the Idumean nation. And he thought he could get away with it.
Well.
Yeah. For he raised his hopes still higher as having no small pretenses, both by his birth and by these, you know, Rahm Emanuel?
Yep.
Anybody? See Rahm Emanuel in this character? Both by his birth and by these riches which he had gotten by his constant attention to filthy lucre. I love it. To filthy lucre. And accordingly, it was not a small matter that he aimed at. So Cleopatra desired this country of Antony, but failed of her purpose. And of course, Antony was Herod's friend. I guess this, what's this character's name? Costobarus? I guess Costobarus wasn't aware that Antony and Herod were good buddies. He probably was not aware of it.
He's going to become aware shortly.
Yeah, right, right. An account of this was brought to Herod.
Surprise.
Uh-oh. Oh, the Rothschilds found out about Madoff. And guess what they did to Bernie? He was lucky he didn't have his head chopped off. An account of this was brought to Herod, who was thereupon ready to kill Costobarus. Yet upon the entreaties of his sister and mother, he forgave him and vouchsafed to pardon him entirely, though he still had a suspicion of him afterwards for this his attempt. Okay.
Now,
okay, so Costobarus is walking on eggs for the rest of his life, and I'm sure that life did not last very long. Back to you.
Okay, I'm looking...
Section 10.
I'll do this last section here, and that will end chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
But some time afterward, when Salome happened to quarrel with Costobarus, she sent him a bill of divorce.
Oh, and boy.
A Jewish lady giving a bill of divorce to her husband, though in the days of Josephus it was not so esteemed lawful for a woman to do so. Hmm. So that was... They did whatever they wanted. And dissolved her marriage with him, although this was not according to the Jewish laws. Okay, it should have been Judean laws.
Right.
Okay, they were still making the pretense that they were Judeans.
Right. Now here we have to be careful because... The Edomites were in the process because Herod had just empowered the Pharisees, his Edomite buddies, to be the religious leaders of all of Judea, which put them over the Judahites, okay? So the vast majority of Judahites at this early stage rejected these Edomite Pharisees as having no authority over them. But subsequent generations, not knowing this, would, you know, just like here... In the modern world, Judeo-Christian ministers are preaching Judaism. They're not preaching Christianity anymore.
The rest of this paragraph, not according to the Judean laws. For with us, that's the Israelites, it is lawful for a husband to do so, but a wife, if she departs from her husband, cannot of herself be married to another unless her former husband put her away. No, that's not right either.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong. He has to die. She can't marry another unless that husband passes away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in Christ, I did a show on that.
Right.
Christ stipulated that anybody that marries a divorced woman, a put-away woman, commits adultery.
Yes. So this may be the practice in Josephus's time, but you're correct. He is not giving the law properly.
Correct. This right. is there you what go. Was going on.
Right.
But that doesn't make it biblically correct.
Right.
It's legal now to kill babies.
Right.
But it surely isn't politically or biblically correct.
Right. So we don't want to accuse Josephus of being in error in reporting that this is, in fact, the practice at the time, right?
Well, that the whole society had become perverted.
That's right.
That's the whole
As
thing.
It is today. I mean, you look at all the perversion in these pages. Is it not exactly the same today? It's even worse because people, including white people, think nothing of killing newly born babies and executing people they don't like.
Well, if you investigate and see how many of the abortion doctors are of
Jewish.
The Talmudic persuasion.
Right.
It will wake you up. Paragraph 260. However, Salome chose to follow not the law of her country, but the law of her authority, and so renounced her wedlock.
Talmudism.
And told her brother Herod that she left her husband out of her goodwill to him. Because she perceived that he, with Antipater and Lysimachus and Dositheus, were raising a rebellion against him.
Uh-oh.
As an evidence whereof, she alleged the case of the sons of Babas, that they had been by him preserved alive already for the interval of 12 years, which proved to be true. But when Herod thus unexpectedly heard of it, he was greatly surprised at it and was the more surprised because the relation appeared incredible to him. As for the fact relating to these sons of Babas, Herod had formerly taken great pains to bring them to punishment as being enemies to his government. But they were now forgotten by him on account of the length of time since he had ordered them to be killed. Section 262.
Okay, so hold on. Let me see if I get this right. So Herod had ordered these guys to be slain 12 years ago, but that didn't take place, and so somebody disobeyed his orders. And this is his surprise that's being related here. Okay?
Right.
Back to you.
Now the cause of his ill will and hatred to them arose thus, that while Antigonus was king, Herod with his army besieged the city of Jerusalem, where the distress and miseries which the besieged endured were so pressing that the greater number of them invited Herod into the city and already placed their hopes on him. Now the sons of Babas were of great dignity and had power among the multitude and were faithful to Antigonus and were always raising slanders against Herod and encouraged the people to preserve the government to that royal family which held it by inheritance.
And by dignity, Josephus means pure-blooded Judahites. That's what he means
right. By
the word dignity. Back to you.
So these men acted thus politically and as they thought for their own advantage. But when the city was taken and Herod had gotten the government into his hands and Costobarus was appointed to hinder men from passing out at the gates and to guard the city, that those citizens that were guilty and of the party opposite to the king might not get out of it, Costa Baras, being sensible that the sons of Babas were had in respect and honor by the whole multitude, and supposing that their preservation might be of great advantage to him in the changes of government afterwards. In other words, he was scheming and plotting already because he was in Edom.
Hedging his bets.
He set them by themselves and concealed them in his own farms.
Wow. You mean a Jew?
He hid them out.
A Jew actually did something good? Well, no. It was for his own scheming that he did this.
Here we go. And when the thing was suspected, he assured Herod upon oath that he really knew nothing of that matter, and so overcame the suspicions that lay upon him. And even after that, when the king had publicly proposed a reward for the discovery, he had put in practice all sorts of methods for searching out this matter. He would not confess it, but being persuaded that when he had at first denied it, if the men were found, he should not escape unpunished. He was forced to keep them secret, not only out of his goodwill to them, but out of a necessary regard to his own preservation.
That's right.
Also covering his butt.
Yeah. Okay. Hey. Oops. I might get caught one of these days.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-oh.
Part 266. But when the king knew the thing, the tetrarch, king.
Right.
By his sister's information, he sent men to the places where he had the intimation they were concealed and ordered both of them and those that were accused as guilty with them to be killed. Insomuch that there were now none at all left of the family of Hyrcanus.
Wow.
And the kingdom was entirely in Herod's own power, and there was nobody remaining of such dignity as could put a stop to what he did against the Judean laws.
Okay. So obviously Herod was no, how should I put it, Bible-believing Judahite.
No, he was an Edomite, and they lied and deceived. They had all this stuff going on under undercurrents and backstabbings and lyings.
Right. And schemings.
What do you expect from these people?
That's right. So, and we cannot stress enough, folks, that the Jews are still like this today. They will never change because they are the descendants of Cain.
In the world, not just this country.
Yeah.
The whole world. They're
all like this.
All this discord and hatred and violence everywhere.
Amen. Amen. And they're hiring the Islamicists, the Muslims, as mercenaries to gang rape white women all over the world. And others to gang rape white women all over the world. Come on, people, wake up. You better realize what's going on because it's going to visit your house real soon if you don't start resisting this Jewish onslaught against the white race. Our people simply have to wake up and stop worshiping the Antichrist.
We're trying. We're doing our best. We're working hard. Two old men.
Yeah. Okay, and that's why we believe in the Second Amendment, folks. We believe in self-defense, and this is why the Jews are working so hard to try to get rid of the Second Amendment. It's all Jews who are doing this, and they're dupes, the liberals, and the Democratic Party, more dupes. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pastor Steve, yeah. I'm getting angry. I've just about had enough of this, so... But I'm gonna have to restrain myself and not do anything drastic, because there's still too much work to do here at Eurofolk Radio. But damn, I get tempted. But
you know,
I will have to restrain myself.
Eli, as I've said on some of my sermons, you can't be presumptuous.
Right.
We have to wait for our commanding general to get here. We will fight if we're still here in these bodies. And if not, the dead will rise first. and be joined in Yahweh's holy army, we will have new bodies. And when he comes, those of the remnant that are still here will be transformed. We won't be old men then, brother.
That's right. I hear you. I'm getting impatient.
We won't be angry old men. We'll be angry young men.
There you go.
And no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
And that's what they need to worry about. They're worried about what men are going to do. They need to worry about what Yahweh's going to do.
Yeah.
It's not us that's going to do the doing. It's Yahweh. Yahweh's going to make everything possible and change us. And the problem is lacking faith in a lot of people. Oh, I don't see how we could do that. Well, that's because you're a man and not a divine being. But if you trust and you wait and you are faithful and you are of the remnant, you once again will be a divine being. You will be restored to that state before Adam fell. And that's what the whole text of the scripture is about. The regaining through Yahshua Messiah, through the forgiveness, and then following obedience to those commands. And the yoke of Yahweh is light. It's not burdensome. All the laws that he gives us are common sense, and health laws and food laws for our benefits so we don't poison ourselves. Don't eat pork. Well, I like pork, but why shouldn't I eat pork? Because it carries all these toxins.
Parasites.
It's a garbage animal. It does not expel the toxins like a clean animal does. It retains them in the flesh. And pork is poisonous.
It is, yes. There's just another part of the war against us.
Well, it's obedient, but I like this. If it said in the Bible, you shall not eat chocolate ice cream, I would never have chocolate. Nobody loves shrimp and catfish and that stuff, lobster, more than I did as a kid because I didn't know. I loved it. We'd go to Florida, and I'd get those fresh Gulf shrimp full of all the toxins from the oil rigs.
The bottom feeders. The bottom feeders are the main item on the menu.
No, I was a little kid, and the Judeo-Christian church that we went to never taught that. I haven't had a shrimp in so long, or catfish. I don't fish for catfish. I don't fish the bottom. Mom used to fix stuffed pork chops.
Wow. Stuffed? With what?
Yeah, big, thick, all kinds of breading and stuff. And we didn't know. And then when I...
Stuffed with shrimp, I guess.
Well, whatever. I became aware and I started teaching and preaching. And Mom was living in my home because she was old and couldn't take care of herself. I said, Mom, we're not going to have any pork in the house. We're not going to have any shrimp or any of that. And we're not going to have a Christmas tree.
Right.
And wow. I sat her down and I showed her in the Bible. And I destroyed all the Christmas ornaments that had been in our family for generations, and she just had tears rolling down her face.
Right.
But I was the man of the house and a man of Yahweh, and I had to purge it from my own home. I had to put my foot down and be the man. And Mom understood later. She forgave me, but she was crying because it was all that family tradition. And you know how hard it is to get rid of family tradition, if it's wrong, it's something that's been in your family. Obedience and walking that straight and narrow path is a hard thing. It's hard when you break away from the world. But if you're going to be part of Yahweh's chosen and the remnant, you have to do it.
Yes.
You cannot hang on to that stuff. You've got to purge it from your life.
as you're speaking, I'm seeing this image of an identity and trying to get away from the world, but there's all of these hands and arms grasping at your legs, trying to drag you back in. Oh, absolutely.
Your own family will resist you. It's a horror movie. They will choose tradition over Yahweh.
Over the Bible.
And it says in Scripture, if anyone loves anyone or anything more than me, they are not fit to come into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. So, look, you have to make a choice. It's not going to be an easy choice, but you have to stick with it. You can't backslide. You can't knuckle under to the world. It's so hard. But it's the straight and narrow path.
Yep.
It's not the broad way.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurtful to some, but who, the old song, who do you love?
Yeah, right.
Well, I love Yahweh. I love his laws. I love everything that he has done for it. I love his mercy that he has shown us through Yeshua Messiah. I love my redemption that he has given me. He has preserved my life and brought me into the ministry more fully. What can I say? I can only give glory to the Father.
Amen.
I can do no less. And I trust in him, and I'm waiting on the Messiah to come back, and then we will kick butt.
Okay. I'll have to just be more patient. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
I'm a warrior. I've already proved that I'm not scared of a fight. I went to prison over it.
Right.
I just don't care what people think.
Yeah, and you don't need to prove that again.
No, right? I don't need to prove that again. I'm waiting. I need to do what I'm doing, what Yahweh has called me to do. And I have such friends and such, I never would have met
brothers and sisters,
or Leroy or Marilyn or
in identity.
Brother Abraham. I mean, just the whole crew. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This EFR thing is the best thing since sliced bread.
Right. Well, we're supposed to live together in brotherly love.
And yes.
You know, that's what we're supposed to do.
Helps one another.
And, yeah.
Well, David's got all his shows on Zip Drive too, you know.
Right. Yeah. They don't want to lose them again.
If you really want some killer stuff, you can send off and get David's Zip Drives, because all his shows are absolutely magnificent. The whole series that he offers
exposes the Jews and then some
is just priceless.
Yeah, it's great stuff, folks. So, all right, we're doing our best to keep the information flowing, and virtually everything we teach here at EFR is censored by the fake stream media and by the ADL and by YouTube and by Twitter. Okay, I mean, they're so afraid of the truth coming out that but it's very difficult for them to come after us publicly or personally. Because they don't want to appear to the public as being, targeting individuals for speaking out, right? So what they do instead is they use their backhanded methods of censorship. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even now Judeo-Christians are becoming aware that this is what they're doing, and even the Judeo-Christians are being censored now. Okay? If a Judeo-Christian is anti-abortion, the ADL will call that person a neo-Nazi, right?
Oh, yeah, all these Nazis.
Yeah, right? Or
everybody's
a racist. Or a homophobe.
Nazi, I'm a okay? Nazi.
So,
whatever.
So they get the name-calling treatment that we've been getting for all these years, and the Judeo-Christian says, hey, wait a minute.
Well, thank you, Swamp Hawk. Swamp Hawk put David's link.
His website.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, we still have 10 minutes left. Let me begin the next. I think I can get paragraph one in. This is book 15, chapter 8, how 10 men of the cities of Jerusalem, or citizens rather, made a conspiracy against Herod. So this was going constantly, right? And this is what happens whenever Jews get in power, because they themselves are corrupt. They got power by corruption, and they hired corrupt people to get there, and now these corrupt people they hire turn against them. This is how it always works. I mean, it can't happen fast enough for me, right? As I just said. But anyway, for foreign practices he had introduced, which was a transgression of the laws of their country. So this is true Judahites defending themselves against Herod the Edomite because he was defying Yahweh's law. Concerning the building of Sebaste and Caesarea and other edifices of Herod. He was a pagan. Paragraph 1. On this account, it was that Herod revolted from the laws of the country, as if he ever obeyed them, and corrupted their ancient constitution by the introduction of foreign practices. What have the Jews done to America besides introducing foreign practices?
Same deal, different day.
Yeah, that's right. Which constitution yet ought to have been preserved inviolable. Yes, amen. By which means we became guilty of great wickedness afterwards, while those religious observances which used to lead the multitude to piety were now neglected. What have we been saying about the Judeo-Christians? They have adopted Jewish practices.
Yep. And pagan practices.
Yes, that too.
Christmas, Easter. Yeah.
I don't know about you, in your neck of the woods, but here in Chicago, I am seeing an increase in witchery. You know, these women, these lemmings, these liberals, are openly practicing witchcraft and bragging about being witches. Yeah, this is what's happening, folks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Make a list.
Yeah. There's across the alley
I'm serious. Make a list. Write them down.
Across the alley from a hardware store I go to, there's a witch who on her door has a sign. It says, "The witch is in." Okay? And then when she leaves, she flips it around and the witch is out. And I got a glimpse of her, and she's got the, you know, she wears all this black makeup with the black fingernails and the Elizabeth Taylor frizzy hair.
Yeah, she's posturing.
Oh, of course. Of course. But here, this is the mindset of such a person. That's what's disturbing. This is her mindset. Anyway, but I see more and more women openly advocating witchery. And, of course, where'd they get this stuff from? They got it from television.
Yeah, Bewitched.
And those three witches, I forget the name of the show.
Oh,
right. Oh, and Alyssa Milano, who was one of those witches. Yeah. She's the one who condemned the Catholic boys and accused them.
Oh, she's mindless twit.
Oh, right. Yeah, in addition to being a witch. So, you know, this is where they get, they're brainwashed by Jew vision, Talmud vision. And they imitate what they see on television. That's what's going on. Okay? Obviously, such people are basically harmless. But when, at least in their own personal lives, but when they gang up on us politically and they believe in sacrificing children to the gods of Baal, you know? Yeah, yes, Charmed. Thank you.
Charmed,
yeah. Charmed was the name of the show. Okay, but let me get back to this. He appointed solemn games to be celebrated every fifth year in honor of Caesar and built a theater at Jerusalem as also a very great amphitheater in the plain. Both of them were indeed costly works, but opposite to the Judahite customs, for we have had no such shows delivered down to us as fit to be used or exhibited by us. Yet did he celebrate these games every 5 years in the most solemn and splendid manner. Now, I have to comment here that Josephus is really, he's being very politically incorrect here. You know, he has to tread carefully. He can't criticize Herod too much, okay? Because what he's saying here is that Herod has begun adopting Roman customs. You know, and if Caesar...
Colosseum, where all the gladiators at Rome.
Yeah, right?
And, chariot races.
And... yeah, but what he's doing, he's admitting to us he's a Judahite, and he's very upset at Herod for doing these things. So he couldn't help himself but reveal his displeasure for Herod here. So, folks, we are seeing, and we are, in a sense, the Josephus of the modern world, pointing out the departures from Scripture of the modern churches, which they themselves have forgotten that they have even done this, because they have such a slew of horrible so-called pastors who teach Judaism, Islam, Baal worship, what have you, instead of Christianity, so that they don't even, they're so far removed from Christianity, they think they're Christians, but they're actually Satanists.
Well, that, we used to have that Baal worship out on all the farms out there.
Oh, right.
All the boys would get around in the evening and they'd sit on bales and they'd,
right.
they'd drink that corn liquor.
Right.
And worship that bottle.
Yeah, that's almost as bad, right?
So, Baal worship.
But the question for me is how much worse can it get? How much worse can it get before these limp-wisted, spineless Judeo-Christians finally wake up and realize who the enemy is.
Limp with this.
a lisp. I can't speak without a lisp. This is how. Okay, I have to clean my microphone off. Sorry, folks. All right.
I did.
Mel Blanc was great, even though he was a Jew.
Well,
right? He did great impersonations and great characters, no doubt about it. Yeah, anyway, he was funny. So, folks, we are doing our absolute best to wake up through Israel to the problems and to their identity. So I don't know what more we can do. We wish we could do more. But Yahweh has put us in a position where the scripture says, who can make war against the beast? This beast is very,
we
very
can.
Powerful. Yeah, we will. But we just have to be a little more patient than Pastor Eli. We have to develop the patience of Pastor Steve, who's done 15 years worth of patience, right? And is still swinging, at least verbally. That's all we can do for the moment, is expose these rascals, these vipers, which is the term that Yahshua used. Expose these vipers for what they are. And get ready for that.
Right.
And get ready for that day. And believe me, it's getting closer. Maybe I don't have to be so patient. And it's getting closer. All right.
Oh, so, man. I love it.
Yeah,
that's about it for this show here, Eli.
We
commented our way out of time.
Right. So we'll get back to this next week, Chapter 8 of Book 15. Thanks for listening, folks. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Keep your powder dry. Keep your sight clean and your sword sharp. Thank you. Praise Yahweh. See you again.
Occupy until the end.
Amen.
Amen.